soon we're going to be jumping in to speak about anarchy, but I'm actually curious as to what you guys think anarchy means within our world and what kind of connotations we apply to it.
Well, for some people who don't know really a lot about political theory, I mean, like for other people, when mm-hmm. you hear the word anarchy, you immediately associate that word with no government, and basically no government means a lot of chaos.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people associate anarchy with a lot of failed states around the world, such as South Sudan, mm-hmm. Somalia, or even very recently in Yemen. And they obviously don't like anarchy because they think in New Zealand or any other country, because they just believe without a government, we'll be in a state of chaos.
Yeah. Damien, what do you think?
Sometimes anarchy movements can be used as a form of correction. So, for example, Pariaka. Like even the government itself were acting out of order because Sir Arthur Gordon was the person that was supposed to be reviewing this matter, but they took the opportunity when he went away. So, yeah, it's sort of them taking this to address it. So I think, like, in some sense, these movements are very important for our society, even if you do want a government in place that has some sort of structure.
Yeah, definitely. And I also think in terms of our conversation this week about being anti-government, when it comes to being anti-government, it doesn't necessarily, like, the connotations there that we have are often negative, right? We think of anarchy and we think of terrorism. So it's more about trying to expand the conversation beyond what we would normally think about when it comes to that. Do you guys have particularly negative connotations about it?
Well, I don't, because especially we can see traces of anarchy in the past, especially during the Paris Commune in France. Yeah, and basically, I think anarchy itself, it's like a knee-jerk reaction to a government that the people have already lost their trust in, especially in the case of the Paris Commune, the French Empire.
Mm. Very interesting. So I'm going to be curious as to what you guys think about what my resident anarchist has to say. But along the theme of anti-government, I did want to reach out to a self-identified anarchist. Rick Giles is the creator of a Facebook page and blog, Anarchist History of New Zealand. So I got him to start off by telling me about what anarchy is in his eyes.
I'll do it from the wording that anarchy is, the an is to be opposed to any archy. And by archy, we mean any authority, any unjust authority in particular, that tries to boss people around, tries to subvert your individuality and make decisions that are properly the purview of a person, to sort of slice pieces off you and say, nope, you don't get to do that, some higher power is going to. And so there's all sorts of different archies throughout history and in the world today, and a proper anarchist is opposed to all of them, whatever form they take, whether it be perhaps local government or national government or heck, all sorts of different sorts of cults or groups or mafia gangs that might spring up.
I just want to go back to one of the words you used, just. How do you go about defining what is just and not?
Well, for my kind of anarchists, justice goes back to whether something's voluntary or not, whether it's freely chosen. Because, of course, you can set up authorities voluntarily by choosing to do so. What often happens and what authorities often mistaken for and identified solely as is when someone uses force to take authority over others. So it's not chosen, but, of course, it's perfectly just and legitimate to set up your own groups and your own unions and your own cooperative societies, your own churches, which is, of course, what interests me as a history fan, that's largely how New Zealand came about. But then after the fact, the government, the unjust authority, came along and largely took over and then, of course, took the credit for all of these sorts of just institutions that it hadn't created.
I'm just curious, are you a self-identified anarchist?
Absolutely.
Mm. What do you think are the biggest drivers of people moving towards anarchy?
I think it's a form of enlightenment and a form of individuality and individuation that comes from a whole lot of different places, depending on who you are. You could probably ecologically group the different people who identify as anarchists. But I think it's kind of like growing up, because when you're a little kid, you're dependent on your parents. And the idea is to leave the nest and individuate and become who you were born to be. And instead of relying on the parents to feed you and shelter you and protect you, you grow up by taking those things that are sort of rights held in trust, if you like, unto yourself. But that natural human relationship, it really gets messed with by corrupt organizations that come in and stop you from properly individuating. And a lot of people, we go a long way toward individuating, but one of the last sort of bastions of individuating is to not hand over power to Big Brother, to the state, to be your welfare provider or your keeper. And I think as people realize that, they move through, roughly thumbnail sketch, you move through being a bit more conservative, and then you perhaps move into being a libertarian, which is a political grouping that holds on to just a few basic necessary, they see it as, roles for the state to play. But then if you keep going into the witch in the wardrobe sort of closet, you get through into the sort of the anarchist world where you realize, hey, we don't need the government to do any of these things. We can do it for ourselves, and historically we did so. So I think that's the transition into being an anarchist.
Mm. Now, as someone who runs the page Anarchist History of New Zealand, what are some of the biggest moments for anarchy in New Zealand, in your opinion?
Well, there's a couple. Like, you can look at it from two different points of view. You could look at it as the wonderful pioneering and settling that was done in New Zealand by the Maoris and by the Europeans. And you can look at the triumphs of creating things like railroads and electrical grids for their towns, and creating schools and creating hospitals, and all those wonderful community organic grassroots moments that happened, and the triumphs. But then from the other side of the coin, depending on what mood I'm in, is a sort of more miserable and not very happy about New Zealand history point of view, which is all those times where those wonderful things have been taken over by government. And part of my time is spent when I do this page and the website is looking at how the government managed to pull that off, how they infiltrated a perfectly healthy and good system and conned people into believing that they weren't allowed to own it or run it anymore.
Mm. I think that's an interesting viewpoint to take, particularly when we think about colonization and the effect that had on indigeneity, really.
Can you be a bit more specific?
Nothing yeah.
wrong with that to say.
No, but I just mean in terms of colonization, how that kind of Eurocentric viewpoint ended up kind of dominating New Zealand in terms of Maori people.
Well, one thing I could say about it is we can celebrate the colonization that was free market and distinguish it as, you know, status history in schools or in mainstream books or certainly in the usual media, except for you guys this week apparently, would characterize New Zealand history as statist history. And they'd talk about Hobson coming to New Zealand. And they won't discuss the fact that before Hobson came and tried to set up a state in New Zealand, there were already a whole lot of little colonies and grassroots communities sprung up, and that largely the Crown came to New Zealand to try and take them over. They saw it as an opportunity. Now that some people have put down some infrastructure, government did what it usually does, which is to come along and take credit for everything and take it over. And for example, one of the earliest things that the Hobson gang did when they came to New Zealand is pop down to Wellington, to Port Nicholson settlement, and read a proclamation and piss everybody off and declare that their town was null and void and the Hobson gang was taking over, and that would be New Zealand Inc.
Anarchy is oftentimes associated with chaos and terrorism. Do you think that holds any kind of validity?
No, well, that's the opposite of the anarchy that I accept. You might, there's some, of course, some non-capitalistic anarchists who are prevalent in New Zealand, but the the pro-capitalist, pro-voluntarism and free market guys like me were absolutely against violence. The whole point is to have non-violence and to have proper rules and proper laws, and instead of, you know, the anarchy of the state, which is just this Lord of the Rings grab for power to try and get the one ring of power and rise to the top and rule everybody else, and they're constantly scrambling and battling and telling stories to each other and to us, and trying to take over all of the grassroots religions and communities that they can to funnel more money into their causes and make sure that they be this big brother. And if there wasn't this one big ring of power, then all these nasty combative people, all these mafia gangs with authority and uniforms, they wouldn't have anything to battle about. So we could have a lot more peace if we didn't have this sort of power grab.